Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a special Sunday All-Star edition of the show. Hanging out at Murph's until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And one of the cool things about being down here at the All-Star Village and so close to the All-Star Game is some players are going to stop by and hang out. We're going to have some guests.
Yeah, man.
So we have former All-Star Mickey Tettleton sitting down with us right now. All-Star in 1989 with the Orioles. All-Star in 1994 with the Tigers as well. Mickey, how are you?
I'm great. Great. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming by.
I got a question for you, all right, because you were a catcher and everything like that, and you're an old school guy. How much of this analytic crap do you hate in baseball? Because the pop time is the thing with catchers out there, pop time and all that other stuff. How does you an old school brother like yourself feel about all these other stuff, all this analytics and crap?
Is this a family program?
It is.
That's Sunday. You say whatever you want.
I think that some of it is beneficial. I think it still boils down to, regardless of what sport you're in, you can have all the analytics you want. If you don't have people that can execute, they don't mean anything.
Right.
So for me, I think there's some of them that are okay, but I think we've gone a little bit overboard. You know, when you're making out lineups and stuff like that, according to a analytics guy making it out, you've got to still have some feel and a certain human element to it.
What do you feel like, sort of on that vein, what do you feel when you watch this era is the most different? Like the thing that just stands out from an eye test just doesn't look quite the same as it did when you played.
Well, some of the things that they do now, I mean, you know, you would have gotten a bruise for. You know, we wouldn't have pimped home runs and done stuff like that, because you just you respected the game, you respected the people in the other dugout. And, you know, I get it. It is called the show for a reason. And, you know, they've taken it to the next level with that. And, I mean, the players are still just as good, if not better. They just added an extra element to the game, the celebration side of it, that, you know, an old school guy, I know what would have happened in my day.
Right.
But, you know, in today's day, they still get a little upset when they've had enough. But, hey, it's part of the game. The fans enjoy it. I'm fine with it.
Oakland Athletics are now, the Braves obviously just finished playing them, are called the Athletics now. And I just wanted to get your, because we had, I forgot who we had on last week, we were talking about this whole thing as far as them being the Athletics, not in Oakland anymore. What was your thought process? What was your thoughts on that when you found out that they were no longer going to be in Oakland?
Well, they've been trying to do it for a number of years.
Right.
So it really did not surprise me that they finally got around to doing it. What did surprise me is that they didn't have anywhere to go, a stadium that was already being pre-built and stuff like that. Now, they're going to be in Vegas, which is, you know, incredible. But, you know, there was something about the Coliseum going out there and playing, you know, the Oakland A's and some of the teams that you played against and some of the legends that had played there, you know, the older A's teams.
Right.
So I think there's always a nostalgia type thing that you lose out on. But once again, though, it's an excitement for the A's moving forward and moving to Vegas.
How was that stadium when you played it? Because I played in it, played against the Raiders in 2005, 9, and 10. How was it then? Because it was a piece of you-know-what when I was playing it. How was it back when you were there?
It was cold at night. But, no, it was okay. I mean, I think it was a little bit different, you know, when we go out there and you'd still see the stripes,
right,
the football stripes on the field,
right,
and stuff like that. But it was always a unique place. You know, as a hitter, it wasn't a real fun place to play because of the big foul ground and the ball did not fly anywhere at night. But It was like everywhere else, man. You're playing in the big leagues.
Right.
So it was a cool place to be.
Mickey Tettleton joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, hanging out at the All-Star Game and talking baseball. You played in Oakland, Baltimore, Detroit, and then Texas, Arlington, final couple of years of your career. I'm sure they were all awesome in different ways, but is there a favorite? Was there a favorite stop, a favorite city, or maybe a couple favorite memories or two?
Well, they were all wonderful. I got called up with Oakland in 1984, so obviously that's a very special place.
Right.
Having the opportunity to go play for Frank Robinson in Baltimore,
yeah.
Play with Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken Jr.,
wow,
you know, those type guys. And then going to Detroit, being able to play with Cecil Fielder, play for Sparky Anderson, play with Alan Trammell, Kirk Gibson, you know, the list, Lou Whitaker, the list just goes on and on. But for me, being from Oklahoma, the people in Texas treated this Okie pretty good. So
right.
I felt like I was playing at home the last 3 years of my career.
You a Thunder fan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. My daughter danced for him for about 6 years. So
we were talking when through the playoffs. I've never met an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. Finally met an Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
We did it.
Well, yeah.
We met one.
Yeah, we finally met one.
Well, and you probably know this as well as anybody. I mean, the state of Oklahoma is about football.
Yes.
And the Thunder have taken over Oklahoma football.
No.
And so it's been a strange transition to watch because, you know, you have the Sooners and their football tradition back right there and the Cowboys and their traditions. So for the Thunder to come in and do what they've done, to really take over a football state, it's been pretty amazing to watch.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm from Seattle, like I mentioned.
Sorry. Bit of a tough. Wasn't my fault, man.
Wasn't your fault.
It's Clay Bennett. Yeah,
you're not in Chesapeake Energy's board or anything like that? It was fun to watch him win the championship, though. That was an awesome team. Now, I remember.
So they're mad at Kevin Durant in Seattle, too, then, huh?
No, we're not mad at Durant. We're mad at mostly Clay Bennett, David Stern, may he rest in peace, I guess, and
you guess,
and Aubrey McClendon, who's also not with us anymore. It was that. It was the people that made the move. I don't know. We're mad at everyone still. Hopefully they'll get a team back eventually. I remember Mickey Tettleton as a member of the Rangers, and I remember the batting stance. Like, as a kid, so many different guys in that era had really unique, fun to try to emulate in Little League batting stances. I feel like we don't see that as much anymore. Like, what do you think it is about maybe your era and prior, and then now where guys kind of have pretty standard batting stances?
Well, it's probably my fault. I've screwed up a bunch of kids. So they're like, no, we're not doing that anymore. I think when you look around the league, and you know, I was just next to Julio Franco a while ago, and Julio
another
was
great one.
He was a complete opposite of me. But when you put our front foot in the ground, we're all in basically the same place. So it really doesn't matter where you start. There's certain components that we all have to do within our swing, but really, front foot hits the ground, we're all pretty much in the same spot.
What are your thoughts? And I know I asked you earlier, I wanted to get more specific on the either strikeout or home run era that we're in now.
Well, I can't really comment on that because I had a tendency to strike out a little bit as well. I wasn't real happy when they weren't throwing it where I was swinging.
Right.
So, but, you know, I do think that the offensive numbers, when you look at it, you know, and it goes back to the analytics. I mean, when you look at when I played and where they are now, the numbers are almost the same. So are the analytics really that important?
Right.
You know, you still got to go out and execute, right, and that's the bottom line.
Mickey Tettleton hanging out with us here, talking some baseball live from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. When you watch now, who are a couple of the guys you really like to tune in and see?
Well, I think Ohtani is obviously very special. I think he's probably the best player in the game with what he's able to do, the two-way stuff that he's able to do, and I just come back to pitch. I have a very fond friend of mine, a guy named Brant Job, that his son Jackson Job is pitching in Detroit, unfortunately, Tommy John. So, you know, I have an interest in him. But, you know, I think you can – you're talking about an old school but new guy, you know, Mike Trout. You can never go wrong with that. But I think Ohtani is probably the face of baseball right now, and rightfully so.
I'm always curious about what you were just saying about your buddy's son, the Tommy John thing. Does it seem like it's one of those things where it's just going to happen now to all these people? We were talking about Paul Skeens earlier in the show, young guy who people are mad about for the
Brewers,
for the Brewers in the All-Star game, throws it all 100 and so miles an hour. Do you think it's just what is it about today's game that you're seeing more of these injuries?
Well, I think these kids are so much bigger. They're so much stronger. I'm not sure that they give themselves enough time to recuperate in the offseason. They're, boom, turn right around and working out. They're in the gym. They're swinging. They're hitting. They're throwing. And I think as time goes on, you got to give your body a chance to regroup,
right,
and recover. And because it's a long, long grind, you know, 162 days or games. And then people don't even, you know, you forget about 6 weeks of spring training.
Right.
To go on top of it. But I just think these kids are bigger, they're stronger, they're more powerful, and they're putting more stress on their bodies. And if you're able to go through a career without having a surgery, then it's a miracle. Because I just had my 19th one. So, you get beat up along the way, man. So.
You played from in the bigs from 84 to 97. I mean, obviously, that's a long time. So you faced a lot of guys. Who was... who was your least favorite pitcher to face, and then who was a guy that people listening would know about that you had some pretty good success against?
Well, Randy Johnson obviously was no Dave
least
Beach.
Fun. Yeah.
You know, being in the Kingdom in Seattle, and he's 6'10", you already feel like you're confined anyway.
I would almost guarantee that a 10-year-old me saw you play the Mariners in the Kingdom.
You probably,
most likely.
You probably
most
saw
likely.
Me strike out against him as well.
A lot of people did.
No, I mean, Randy was very unique. I had the opportunity to face Nolan Ryan, which you kind of turn into, you're sitting there and you're a fan while you're trying to beat him. Roger Clemens, obviously. I mean, the list just goes on and on. It's like asking me who was the best player I ever saw. I mean, that's so hard to answer. You know, if I was going to start a team, it'd probably be with Ken Griffey Jr. and build around him. But, you know, every night you saw somebody of great quality every night. And I think that's what makes it great is that, you know, that just one night right after another just facing the best.
All right, we got to get you out of here. But because you were a catcher. Who hits now? Blocking the plate. It's coming in. It's coming in hot round third. Who got you?
Dave Winfield.
Okay.
Oh, man. Winfield's big-ass dude.
Dave Winfield, we tried to pick him off one in Oakland. Threw it past the first baseman. The first baseman threw it past the third baseman. We were taught to get on the same side as the foul line as where the throw was coming from. And my third baseman, unfortunately, threw it across the foul line, and I got stretched out. And the next thing I know, I was picking up my helmet, my mask, my glove. You know, Winnie was, 6'6"?
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
240 and run like a deer.
Played every sport.
And it just I saw him coming out of the corner of my eye. One person I'm glad did not run over me was Bo Jackson.
Oh, right.
Because whenever I saw Bo come up to the plate for the first time, I was like, if there's a collision late in the game, this isn't going to work out real well for me.
Right.
This man had muscles coming out of muscles.
Mickey Tettleton hanging out with us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, telling stories of his days in baseball. Now that you mentioned that, because I remember hearing a story from, I don't remember who it was, some older player talking about Bo Jackson hitting the ball and it just sounding different than like an M80 going off. Maybe he's on the list for you. Are there a couple of other guys that when you heard it, maybe Cecil Fielder playing with him, when you heard the ball hit the bat, it just sounded unique?
Well, a bunch of those dudes. But Bo was one guy I would actually go out in Kansas City and watch him take batting practice because he would put balls in those fountains, you know, like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Which was extremely difficult to do. That was a big, big ballpark. But I was actually standing on deck when Cess hit it out of County Stadium
in
Milwaukee. And I'm kind of walking up to going, like, how in the hell am I supposed to follow this? You know, I just hope Police Sox not mad. So. But there was a bunch of different ones. Al Oliver hit it extremely hard, and just really everybody did. I mean, there was no real slouches. Even the little guys hit balls hard.
Well, you were in Oakland with McGuire and Canseco, right?
Yeah.
Young McGuire and Canseco?
Yeah. And I watched Big Mac hit 49 home runs his rookie year.
Wow.
Yeah. So it would have been interesting if he would have stayed healthy.
Yeah.
I think he would have shattered Bonds' record.
Really?
He'd have hit 1,000 home runs because he was just built to hit home runs.
Right.
Yeah, he just was hurt between like 92 and 97 when he got traded to St. Louis, and then he was healthy for a good run there. But, the last Oakland years, he was hurt a lot.
Yeah.
We could probably sit here and do this all day,
man. But
this is great.
We got to pay some bills.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate
for stopping by.
Absolutely,
thank you very
man.
Much.
It's a pleasure.
Mickey Tettleton, nice enough to hang out with us for a few minutes talking ball from back in the day. Two-time All-Star Mickey Tettleton, both in Baltimore and Detroit in his years in Major League Baseball, 13 years in the bigs. Fun conversations there. We'll take a break here, come back, final hour. Andy and Randy hanging out from Murph's at Cobb Galleria. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.